At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is Hardwood Handicappers, VSiN's premier NBA betting podcast.
All right, so let's get into a little bit of what happened yesterday, because some of this stuff could carry over and impact how we look at things moving forward, specifically over there in the NBA. And Kelly, whenever we're looking at how some of these games broke down yesterday, you see the Bucks come out and handle up on the Sixers. Yes, the Sixers don't have Embiid, but they've been playing pretty well without him. But instead, this was a massive 21-point win for the Bucks. And, you know, the Bucks, I think at this point, you're looking at this team and you say, like, all right, they kind of were up and down all year long. Were they really going to put it together? Was this really going to be a team that could contend for the title? And I think what we've seen here over the last couple of games, very small sample size, but we do see this Bucks team that we see what the potential is for this Bucks team, and we see that this is a team that definitely 100%, no matter what you thought of them all year long, it is a team that can compete when it comes down to it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think this is what exactly what they needed, right? This was the, you're trying to temper everybody's expectations and try to get everybody be patient a little bit with Doc coming in. But it's very similar to me of always what happened with James Harden and the Clippers. I mean, he joined them on a road trip, when he signed on. And I know that Doc's not going to have the same impact that James Harden's going to have on a team. But when you're trying to come in, you're bringing in a guy to massively change things because something's gone horribly wrong through the start of the season. No matter what we think about Doc Rivers, the guy still has a ton of coaching experience, and this stuff takes time. And, Matt, I just view it as they needed the All-Star break. You finally are able to, like, get home, get some practices under your belt together. And now I think this is the period where it's fair to start judging what this Milwaukee team is going to be once they get in the playoffs over these next few weeks. This is when they need to put their foot on the gas pedal. That's two great wins to start out of the All-Star break. Let's see what they can do. I'm definitely not counting them out as a big threat in the Eastern Conference.
That brought them to 500 on the road for the season, 14-14. Away from Milwaukee, Giannis goes 30, 12 boards and assists shy of a triple-double. 9 assists for him, 24 from Lillard, 20 from Beasley, and then Portis chips in 17 off the bench. And you kind of start to put together in your head what this team could possibly be, what this team could look like, what a night of a good game could look like. And I think what you saw last night is the typical, okay, the Bucks had a great performance, the Bucks looked really good. This is kind of the box score you're going to look in and see. In my personal opinion.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, except for one notable name missing too, right? I mean, Chris Middleton will be back here shortly, and that's going to be, it's great to have the addition of Damian Lillard, but I mean, every time we've seen the Bucks have success, we've seen Chris Middleton be a huge part of it. I think that's going to be one thing that you're going to, it's going to be dependent on him looking good as they run head into the playoffs, that defense get a little bit better. If all those things start to click, though, man, I mean, watch out, because outside of the Boston Celtics, this Eastern Conference is wide open.
Yeah, absolutely. We look over at the Mavericks, who were on a nice run. You go out and you get 29 from Kyrie, you get 33 from Luka, and you're thinking you're probably going to win the game if you get 33 and 29, and instead you end up losing by 20 points to the Pacers because you give up 133. Now, they have been playing a little bit better defense of late, but in this one, the Pacers come out, really put it on them, 133 points given up by this Mavs team. And if there's anything you want to do to poke a hole in this Mavs team, Kelly, it would be the defense, right? Because you know you have two of the most prolific scorers in the NBA on the court at the same time in any given night. They did last night, can go for 60. They can go for 70 combined between those two. The problem is can they keep the other team from putting it in the basket almost at will, and they could not do it yesterday.
Yeah, and that is something we've seen, you know, kind of shift since the trade deadline is their defense has been better. I was on the Mavs yesterday. It felt like the whole world was. And, yeah, ran into a buzzsaw. That defense kind of looking like the defense of old yesterday, and the Pacers getting a lot of easy points. Miles Turner with a really easy 30-point game. Filling it up there against the Mavericks. And, look, they're going to be an interesting team to track here. It was, you know, as we lead into the MVP conversation, it is a team that, you know, a couple weeks ago, it was I can't really consider Luka Doncic until this team starts winning, and they've been winning, you know, over the past couple weeks. So he's becoming a lot more real in that conversation.
We go in. The Nuggets and the Warriors went off with just a one-point spread in that game. The Nuggets go on the road, win that game handily by 16 points on a monster game by Nikola Jokic. If you look, 32 points, 16 boards, 16 assists, 4 steals, throw in a block as well. And by the way, he only turned the ball over 2 times.
Yeah, it's not bad.
In that game, just an absolute monster of a game. And oh, by the way, Murray chips in 27 on the side to get this team. Again, like, I know people have been kind of mad with the way the Nuggets season has gone, Kelly. It seems like they were sleepwalking. It's kind of like, were they having this championship hangover? But you watch and you see what Jokic does, and you see Murray chipping the 27 on top of that, and then you get the 17 from Gordon, and you start to realize, like, okay, maybe they were sleepwalking a tad, and maybe there was at least a minimal amount of a hangover here, but they are definitely every bit the contender that we thought that they were going to be heading into this season and should be one of the favorites to win it all, because when you have those guys out there on the court, games like this happen a lot. Yeah. Not the 32, 16, and 16, but we know Jokic is good for a triple-double anytime he steps on the court. They are every bit the contender, and I get it if you were lukewarm on them because of what you saw throughout the middle of the season, but you know, listen, I think that they probably were, I think it's fair to say, they probably were a little bit complacent. They probably were a little bit sleepwalking, and it is what it is now because we're heading down the stretch and you see a game last night and you go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's that Nuggets.
Yeah, I also don't think I'd be shocked. I think the Clippers, you could say this about too. I don't think we should be shocked if down the stretch, like they, you know, maybe Jokic takes off a game or two. Yeah, I mean, what's the most crucial for Denver and L.A., the Clippers, is that you're entering the playoffs healthy. And because they are going to have a top-4 seed. You're not going to have to worry about them falling back into the play-in. So I do think that anytime we see, okay, a slight grab at the hamstring or something like that, could that mean a missed game for Nikola Jokic when it normally wouldn't? Yeah, I think that's a possibility. I think that's a good possibility with the Clippers, too, given their injury history. We saw Paul George sit last night for the Clippers. So I think that's something. Don't freak out if these teams maybe don't end the regular season as strong as what they've looked like, you know, over the past couple months. I think over these next few weeks, this is where these teams can really, really start clicking and try to capture that one seed and separate themselves from the pack that's built at the top there.
We know that it is a reactionary market. All of these awards markets are reactionary, and so you get a massive game out of Jokic. What do? You wake up this morning to him being a -160 favorite to win the MVP, SGA at +250, Luka at +650, everybody else 14-1 or longer. We talked a little bit about Jokic when I was in here a couple of weeks ago, Kelly, and saying, you know, he probably should be the front runner. And unless something really happens as far as him, like you said, taking significant time off or whatever, he's probably the guy to get this thing here. SGA is putting up you cannot complain at all about what SGA is doing. It's unbelievable what he's doing when he steps out on the court. But then you just see how every phase of the game can be impacted by Jokic. You know, again, 16 boards, 16 assists to go along with the 32 points. Oh, by the way, 4 steals chipped in as well. And you just realize the odds were probably appropriate, and they probably still are appropriate here.
Yeah, this is Matt, I think we might end up seeing a all-time MVP race here. I think these 4 guys are all live. I think they all have a path when you talk about Nikola Jokic, SGA, Giannis, and Luka. I think there is absolutely reality where the Bucks, if they start playing well and racking up wins, get back in the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, people are going to look around at what Giannis is doing stat-wise this season. He could be jumped up into that conversation. We see Luka Doncic, how his odds have moved as this Mavericks team has won. And this is, you know, I think we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, and it's – it was my hesitation on Jokic and Doncic was, okay, Jokic hasn't had as great of a season as he's had in years past. But then you look at what he's done. I mean, just these three games out of the All-Star break. 21 points, 19 rebounds, 15 assists against the Wizards. 29 points, 15 rebounds, 14 assists against Portland. 32 points, 16 and 16, like you said last night, against Golden State. Okay, it's really hard to argue against a guy right. that keeps doing that yeah. over and over again.
You can justify the odds movement anyway.
You can. And then Luka, you know, it was always my question, is this team going to win? Is this team going to win enough? But now all they've been doing is winning, take out of that game from yesterday. So I really think this has turned into a four-horse race. I think it's going to be pretty live to the end. I think SGA is right there in the conversation, though. I really do. I do, too.
And you look at is there any reason to believe that it's because he plays in Oklahoma City? I mean, like, there has to be some of that, right? I mean,
as far as what? Like, we're not the big national market, just, so like, he's not going to get the love?
Like, we in the bubble make the case for SGA, and we're the ones beating the table and all. Like, you don't hear that a ton from anybody else, you know? And you certainly don't hear it from the general public. I mean, you could go ask a basketball fan, by the way. Who do you think the top three guys in the MVP betting market? They might tell you Jokic. They might tell you Giannis. They might tell you Luka. SGA would be the guy that got left out.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. You're probably not wrong. That makes me sad. I hope at the end of the day, though, the voters that vote on this war to look at what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had to work with this season and how far he brought this team.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Can't wait to ask the first question here to our very own Jonathan Von Tobel, who certainly has looked and scrutinized this logo that is going to be debuting for the Clippers next season. Yay or nay, JVT?
Oh, yay. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Me too. I like it.
Yeah. It's cool. You know, it goes back to the roots of the Clippers and why they're called the Clippers for many people who don't really know why. You know, the current logo, which Kelly has seen me rock. I have a fitted of the current logo, which is like the L and the C, and it looks all crappy and whatnot. It's way better than what they've got currently. And you go back to the red unis, which has been sorely missed. So, yeah, no, I'm in.
And I'll tell you this, before you make your opinion out there, I want everyone to click on the logo and then read as to why all the stuff is in the logo and where it is. And it will make you like it even if you think you don't like it because you're like, Kelly, by the way, they put the N in Los Angeles at the very top of the logo because it's pointing north. Like, I mean, all these little things like that.
I never knew how much work went into these things. Like, even like the VGK like logo, like it took me a long time to see like the V, I think it, like the V in the helmet. Like, it's a lot of masterful design, all with a purpose.
All right, JVT, what did we learn yesterday in the NBA? Let's start with the Bucks and the Sixers, and you see them go out and win convincingly. Sure, it is no Embiid there for the Sixers, but they've been playing well even without him, and there's been a ton of question marks around this Bucks team.
Yeah, I think for the 76ers, it's a team that's just kind of challenged, right, without Joel Embiid out there. And especially with the new look roster, one of the things that I've kind of pointed out, and, you know, I had the Bucks yesterday in the write-up and talked about it a little bit at length, which is, you know, they're not a very good rebounding team without Joel Embiid out there. They're a very poor perimeter defensive team because now if you look at it, now that Patrick Beverley's gone, you've got these guys who are just not really dominant on-ball defenders. And so Embiid's out there to help carry the weight on offense. All of a sudden, you got a team that really just struggles in multiple facets. And sure enough, enough yesterday. Offensive rating of 125 in non-garbage time for the Milwaukee Bucks. An offensive rating of 97.8 for Philadelphia. I think this is just what this team's going to be here as we move forward. And for Milwaukee, like as you kind of mentioned, these are two really good wins coming out of the break. I think when you're able to go into Philadelphia, take care of business the way that you should against a lowly 76ers team is currently constructed, that's a positive. And the defensive effort and, guys, the fact that it looked like maybe they were going to let go of the rope against Minnesota on Friday night, but ultimately kind of hunkered down and got a really big win on the road against the Timberwolves. So I think you like what you see. Now it's two games, right? Two wins, two covers. Let's see if they can continue this as the second worst cover team in the NBA as we move forward. But no better way to start the second half here for Milwaukee than what they've done in the first two contests.
Mavs been playing well. We see that win streak come to an end with a 20-point loss on the road at the Pacers. And what do you get the big scoring night from Luka, you get the big scoring night from Kyrie, but then you give up the 133. We know that that has been something that we have been talking about with this Mavs team all season long is, hey, yeah, they got two of the best scorers, but they can't stop anybody else from scoring. Is this just, hey, listen, it's a blip because they have been playing a little bit better defense. Are you worried at all here about like, okay, see, they're back to the same old Mavs? Or you're like, you know, whatever. Some nights you're going to go out and you're going to give up 133.
Yeah, I think this is just a quintessential Mavericks game, right? Like you said, the upside on offense is incredible when you have Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic out there. And the reason why they had gone on that win streak prior was that Kyrie Irving came back healthy, and then all of a sudden they rip off seven consecutive wins. They cover six of those. And so, like, I think this is just what the Mavericks are going to be, which is why, in the grand scheme of things, I think you have questions as to whether or not they can actually win an NBA title. I think they can beat any team in a best-of-seven series, any single one of them, because they're so good on offense. But can they win four is the real question. When you're playing defense in that way, and your objective almost every single game is outscore your opponents. They've got some decent defensive pieces, but nowhere near enough in which you're going to be able to play consistently on that end of the floor to win multiple best of seven. So if they get into the first round, let's say they're the seventh seed or whatever it is, could they spring an upset over Oklahoma City or Minnesota, whoever they get in that first round? I think absolutely. But then will they be able to do that consistently is a real question. I think they can't. So I think they're a danger on any given night. But in terms of the big picture, I think last night was a perfect example, Matt, where sometimes you're going to go out and you're going to get burned by guys like Andrew Nembhard, who looked really good in limited action and everything else. So I think that's kind of the short side here for the Dallas Mavericks.
What do you make of this Pelicans team? They let the Bulls come in, beat them last night, you know, and you just see this team that at points you go, wow, there's something there. And then there's other times, and you look like last night where you, again, they let the Bulls come into their home court and beat them up a little bit. Is this, are they, you know, we always do the contender pretender thing. Are they just pretenders?
I don't know. So this is the one team that I haven't. I'm looking right now because I wanted to get this right. So, like, they're a team that right now is eighth in net rating in non-garbage time, seventh in defense. Like, and those are two generally good indicators that you're going to be a good team. But the problem with this squad this year, guys, is they're right around average on offense, and that shouldn't be the case. You know, one of the upsides of having your trio of CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, and just Zion Williamson in general was that you're supposed to be an overtly efficient offense, and this was supposed to help. You're supposed to be able to pressure the rim. You're supposed to be able to cause issues, get to the foul line, dominate on the glass, and that just hasn't really been the case. One of their big issues, they turn the ball over a lot on nearly 14% of their offensive possessions. That's going to kill you in terms of efficiency. So I think, Matt, this is one team that I haven't been able to get my read on because they're floating around a five seed. There are some statistics that show you that they're a really good club, and then you go out and you get a performance like that yesterday and you realize, oh, this is why they're just floating around a five seed and not showing any consistency. So I would agree with the sentiment. Like, I'm not sure what to do with them just because I think that they have these small issues that are ultimately going to hold them back. I think we're kind of this year, I don't want to jinx it. I think for this season, we're kind of done asking the question, will Zion Williamson be healthy? He's shown that he's going to at least be healthy and be there for a minute. It's just, are you going to get things together on the offensive end? And through about, what are we talking about now? 58, 60 games, it has shown at the very least that you're going to be an average offense. And in today's NBA, that can't carry you very far.
So we have now seen Jokic move after the monster game last night to -160 in the MVP market. Let's say somebody has been an NFL bettor, NFL season's over, they're parachuting in, they want to get in an MVP ticket. They're not going to put $160 down to win 100. They want to put 100 down and win more money than they put down. JVT, where should their money go? Is it SGA at 250? Is it Luka at 650? Is it Giannis at 14? What do you think here if someone wants to come in and get a nice little ticket to sweat for the rest of the season?
So I think at this point, and I'll say this, like, because this is the point where, you know, with every fart in the wind, the odds are going to move, right, for most valuable player. It, like, no matter what's going to happen, you're going to see some sort of an adjustment. And I would say for voters and in general, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander the other day effectively eliminated Kawhi Leonard from the conversation, right? Because they go, they host the Clippers, they blow them out, and I think a lot of people are going to, okay, we're done with Kawhi Leonard. And I think that's kind of fair. So I think right now you're looking at a 2.5 horse race, and I say a half because Luka does have the counting stats, but I don't know if they're going to win enough for him to get this. Guys, at this point right now, I'm sitting and staring at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at plus 250 to potentially win this award. They could still win the number one seed in the Western Conference. He is absolutely incredible on both ends. I think he still leads the league in steals per game. He's obviously incredible with his efficiency numbers and his scoring. And if they end up winning a top seed in the West, be it one or two, and finish ahead of Denver, that could make the difference here for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And at the very least, I think the gap between him and Nikola Jokic is not as far as the market would indicate. I think what's happened here is we get the most recent straw poll a couple of weeks back that has Jokic with a, what was it, like 60, 67 votes out of 100, whatever it was. And so the market uses that as a placeholder until we get the next one. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has a very realistic shot at winning this, given how good he is, how much he is used, what he has done for a team that could win the West, and especially a plus 250 or better. I think that's where you're going. And I'm going to add Shai here to the portfolio because I think he's the one that's ultimately going to win this award. I think he deserves it at this point right now.
Short slate tonight, JVT, anything in your account?
Yes, the Grizzlies money line plus 105. Article is about to go up on the website of VSiN.com, so you can check out the write up there too with the other games as well. But look, guys, Brooklyn 1-7 straight up, 2-6 against the spread in their last eight games. Latest melting down against the Timberwolves on Saturday night when they had I think 0.85 points per possession in the second half. They lose despite leading at halftime as an 8.5-9 point underdog. This team stinks, guys. If you're looking at it larger sample size, how about this? Nets 8-25 straight up, 8-24-1 against the spread in the last 33 games. They've been abysmal, and the market's been kind of slow on really adjusting to this team and how bad it has been from a power rating standpoint. And I think you can make, he's not going to win it. You can make a sick case for Taylor Jenkins to win coach of the year because he has had this Memphis team playing really hard, especially on the defensive end. They come into today, guys, despite the fact that they have already clinched the under on their win total, that they're one of the worst teams record-wise, eighth in defensive efficiency. They're playing really hard on that end of the floor. They are 10-5 against the spread in their last 15 games, just in much better form, especially at home. So I took Grizzlies money line. I'm going to take my chance with a better coach team, at least playing really hard defense and not giving up on a night-to-night basis, other than Brooklyn, which has looked like an absolute nightmare, firing Jacque Vaughn. Kevin Ollie doesn't really look like he's going to be the guy either through a couple of games. It's been a nightmare for Brooklyn. I'll take my chances with the home underdog tonight.
JBT, 20 seconds. They're trying to ban storming the court. Your opinion?
I think that Phil Paskey tried to try to take a shot at a fan right before he got hurt. Just don't make rules that you can't do it if you're favored. How about that? Let's do that because you were favored to win the game. Come on.
Kelly, you know, I'll get your opinion here on the other side here, but it's you weren't supposed to do it anyway. Yeah. So it's kind of like, oh, we're going to ban it. Like, I thought it was, what, it already banned? Like, what do you mean?
I like the idea of video boards as you enter the arena, though. You are favored tonight. Do not storm the court.
Court storming game or not, you know, like you got to figure it out. Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.